Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2005 Home Education Conference held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
All right. If you can see this, even better. Writing is a blast. It can be so fun. There are so many exciting and easy projects that you can do as a family that will empower your children as writers. We want our children to learn how to write. We want them to write well. And the more they write, the better they get. That's as simple as you can put it. So our job as mothers, as homeschoolers, is to help our kids write as much as they possibly can. So I'm going to just give you lots of ideas today. First of all, I'm just going to give you the writing traffic light theory. This is, and those who have been to one of my classes, you have seen this before. You'll see it again. But this is basically, after 20 years, I graduated in elementary ed, I have taught school, I have taught in my home, I have taught in the community. Anywhere I can teach, I love to teach. This is it. My whole theory on writing is 5 words, and 3 of them are the same. So here it is. My writing traffic light theory is green light. Write, write, write. Write everything down. Just get it out. Get it on paper. Start. That's the action. Yellow light means slow down. That's when you edit. That's when you check your spelling. That's when you worry about the spelling. You worry about punctuation. This is when you've taken all your ideas and now you look at them and say, oh, is this good? Does this make sense? Who's my audience? I want them to respond to this. The red light on the traffic light means stop. Stop writing. There is no more writing involved in whatever you're writing. This piece, you're writing a story, you're writing a poem. The red light means stop. No more writing. Now you're going to make it sparkle. You're going to make it look beautiful. That's when you change the font. That's when you change the size. That's when you put in the paper, the nice paper, the colored paper. That's when you choose a different format for your writing. So, that's it. My whole theory, everything I've ever learned, right there. All right. On your piece of paper, I want you to fold it in half. Then I want you to fold it in half again. And I was going to print this all out, and I thought, this is silly. Fold in half again. Now, if I had a stapler, and I stapled it right here on the fold, and I had scissors, I'd cut off the top. That's called a flip and fold book. All of a sudden, this is an 8-page book. This is it. So very, very simple. Now, open your paper. Right here in this top right-hand corner, I want you, everyone needs a pen out because you're going to need to be writing. When I was growing up in our backyard, there was a tree. And it was a crabapple tree. It was my favorite tree. And I love that tree because I could get to the top in 5 steps. I knew right where my foot went, and that was my special place. When I had 3 brothers. When I needed to get away, I would go to my tree. I could think there. I could sit there. I would just be alone. And I was so high up, I was away from everything else. I want you to think right now back in your life if you had a special place. Where would was your special place? Where did you like to go? We're going to take 2 minutes, and I want you to jot down on your piece of paper some things about that special place. And you need to do it right here in the top left-hand corner. Okay? All right, stop. Stop, stop, stop. All right. I know it's so exciting because I know you'd all want to keep writing. I want you to turn to someone that you don't know. If you came with someone, don't turn to them. Turn to someone behind you or in front of you. And turn around, introduce yourself, and I want you to share. You have 1 minute, so you each get 30 seconds. And I know it's not enough time, but we're just going to keep this short. I want you to share with that person about your special place, why it was special to you. So find someone you don't know. Okay. Has everyone shared? Both sides? Okay. Hopefully you've made a new friend. And hopefully when you see that person, when you're sitting down at the next event or the next class, you can say, oh, and introduce to your friend, I know that lady. She has a really special place. It's under her bed. It's, you know, she hides there from her children or, you know, whatever. All right. You have just done a memoir. You have started a memoir, something that is important to you, something that has great meaning in your life. This might not be a book. It might not be a movie, but it could be. Anyway, that's the beginning. Now, let me show you something you can do with that story. No. Oh, okay. Once you have a story written, like you just wrote, and how long did you spend? 2 minutes. The whole process of write. Just start. That was the beginning. Now, we're going to take that story. So here's my story about the tree. There are so many things you can do with that story. That story, and this is what I want you to hopefully encourage in your children. Those stories don't have to stop at just being a story. Okay? My story started here. There's 3 things we're going to talk about. It can become a letter. You know, with that story about my special place, I can write that. And I remember, you know, my friends that used to play with me there. I remember my friends that I taught how to climb a tree. This would be an easy way to write about my special tree and then write a letter that prompted memories, that prompted, you know, I should write that friend. Remember the time we climbed that tree, you fell? Or remember the time? Okay, so that's a letter. Family storybook. And then family hero lesson. Right here in front of me, these right here, dollar store, go to the dollar store, buy yourself a cheap photo album. I did this, and this is my husband, Vaughn, and his grandmother we went to visit. And she had, I said, Grandma, have you ever written up your history? Oh, yeah, I wrote it. And she pulled out this dot matrix little document of her life. Well, she had taken her whole life and just written the stories that she remembered. Oh, yeah, remember this, remember that. Well, I took that and I was like, I can't even hardly read this. You know, the dot matrix had faded. It was just terrible. And I thought, my children will never read this. But as I started to read the stories, she had written with such a personal voice, and it was just memories that she had. All right. In step with Grandma Hester. I took her little thing and I retyped it, put it in a font, and I added some clip art. Guess what? I have created a document, not a document, it's a book for my kids. And it's a history of Grandma. Fascinating. And she grew up turn of the century, and I'll just quick share. I can remember when I was small, my brother Jack and I would get tired of following our mother up and down the cotton rows, and it would be time for our naps. She couldn't quit picking because she needed to make the money while the cotton was there for her to pick. So she let us lay down on her cotton sack. They were 6 to 8 feet long and about 2.5 feet wide. There was a big strap that went over her shoulder and down under the other arm. There was an opening in the top part of the sack. You'd pick and put the cotton in the opening. All the sacks were made out of heavy canvas, so either Jack or I would lay on the bottom of the cotton sack, and she would pull us up and down the rows as she picked cotton, and we took our nap. She earned $1.50 a day, as she could pick 100 pounds. Wow! That changed my whole perspective of Grandma Hester. I didn't meet Grandma till she was 75. And when you meet somebody's grandparents, you don't think about them growing up, taking a nap on a cotton sack. What a history lesson this has been for my kids. And talk about funny. She's hilarious. Over here, one time she and her brother Jack peppered all her mother's roses because all the relatives were coming to visit, and they'd always sniff the roses. So this particular time, Grandma Hester took the pepper shaker, and they peppered them, and all the relatives came, and they all sneezed the rest of the day, and they had no idea why. I didn't know that about Grandma. Oh, my. Her stories were fascinating. And now, because they have a little color, and they're in something that's fun to read, guess what? This book goes in the church bag. It goes in the car. My kids read these. Grandma bears her testimony of spiritual things when she was a child. She tells of the ranch romance that her brother had to walk to town once a week because the new one would come out. And they would sit around and read that around the fire because there was no electricity. Oh my goodness. This family storybook has just turned into a little treasured history for our family. That worked out so well, take a good idea and run with it, that we did that. We have, over here, needs a title page. These are the Brimhall family parables. You know, Christ taught in parables. We have our own. We have spiritual experiences that happen to our family. And you know what? You write them down. This is one of our favorites. This is our cat, Juggo. She had some kittens. We went on a trip, and I had the kids' color. Lovely, blue face. We knew the neighbor would take care of our cats. Anyway, a big windstorm came. We prayed, bless our house, bless our kitties. And I had the kids help dictate this. Anyway, there was a big storm. A tree fell. It could have fallen on the house and destroyed the house, but it fell across the street. We were out of town. The city had to come and clean up the whole mess. We got home, and we didn't know that there was a tree missing, but our house was protected. And we believe it's because of those prayers that we said, the simple prayers. You know what? This experience happened 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when our children were just tiny. But we have preserved that into a spiritual experience that my children still talk about. Oh, yeah, remember that story? Because it's illustrated. I mean, it's not beautiful or anything. But they remember the stories because they were written down. We have more. Grandma wrote about what happened during the days of the week. I asked my mom, this is my mother, who is here visiting, and she read that story, and she said, oh, we did, on Tuesday, we washed too. That was always wash day. And Wednesday was a certain day, and Thursday. So I said, Mom, why don't you write down your days? What did you do as a kid? I mean, I can't tell you what we do every day. It's different. I mean, it's never the same. So she did. She wrote down the days. Oh, yeah, Monday was wash day at her house. And what did she do during that time period? These books are so easy to make, and yet they are such a treasure because you're writing a memoir. All right. Here it is, Grandma Hester. and the stories. All right, family storybook. Basically, you're just writing a whole bunch of memories and putting them in a book. Cost less than a dollar. All right, you can also take that memory and turn it into a family hero lesson. These are perfect for family home evening. These are perfect to teach all about a character trait, being honest, being obedient, being kind, different things for different, different stories for different traits. This one right here is about Grandma Gilson, and she had a spiritual experience. We were in church one time, and she was in our ward, and she told this experience, and I said, oh, you know, she had a point where she decided, I am either going to live the gospel or I'm not. There was a time, and I don't know if you've ever had that, there's one moment, that was a defining moment for her. And I said, will you, she told about it in church, and I said, oh, will you write that down? Well, okay, so she wrote it down. And I said, great, with that story in mind, I took it and I took the pictures. This was a picture of her. And then I just drew some simple pictures of the time when she met these missionaries on a bus. And they asked, what are you doing? And she said, I'm going to church. But there was a moment of hesitation there. Anyway, I just picked that story and I illustrated very simply, and it doesn't have to be super fancy. You can get clip art. You can have your kids illustrate it. That's even better. Put that together, and then I just kind of made a game that went with it. But I had the story that she wrote. What I hope you'll see today is the things that you write don't have to just stay in story form. There is so much you can do with them. And so, okay, on your piece of paper, I want you to, on your lovely handout that's just plain white, here's your story over here. I want you to draw an arrow to the side, and I want you to draw an arrow to this square down here. Now, I want you to think about your story. And this one was about your special place. If you wanted to make that into a storybook, what other stories could go in that storybook? Do you have other memories from your childhood? If that was a special childhood place, what kind of book could you make and include your special place story? Any ideas? All right, not all at once. Okay. Childhood memories. Childhood special places.
Special friends.
This can become, these are things that you could add and put together into a little book.
The family, ours was a family place as an adult, so the pond and the river and the daddy crossing the river.
Ah, okay. Excellent. So it could be the pond. It could turn into a family. Oh, this was my special place. What was your special place? What was yours and yours? Ask your entire family. I did that. We'll get to that in a minute. But you can have a whole collection of stories. We've done this with scars. Does anyone here have a really good scar? Oh, man, I've got one on the top of my head, and I have one on my hand, and I've got one on my knee. And you know what? One night, have everyone write down about their scar. Oh, man, I got hit by a rock, and I got hit by a car, and I got, you know, I was an accident-prone child. I have my own history of just my own scar stories. But if you have your whole family writing about scars, why not type them all up and put them in one place? Here it is. This is the book about scars. You know, you want to see scars, you come see us. So anyway, that's your collection. All right. With your special story, with the arrow that's pointing down to the bottom right-hand square, how could you turn that, or think of another story in your life that you could turn into, will you go back one, that you could turn into a family character lesson? What do you want your children, what character traits do you want your children to have? Honesty. We talked about honesty and obedience, kindness. Is there a story from your past that you could turn into a family hero lesson? Are there stories you want your children to hear? You know, every general conference, we all sit waiting and listening for the stories that the general authorities are going to tell. I love those stories. But you know what? You have those stories, and I have those stories, spiritual experiences that have changed your life.
Miracles.
Miracles. We have a miracle journal. I think that's this one. Everyday Miracles. And when my parents were serving a mission for our church, I said, will you just write down some of the miracles that happened? Okay. All the time. We have special miracles in our own life. You know, a little clip art and just typing it and putting it in a book, all of a sudden it becomes, it gives your kids reference. Our kids read about these all the time. They know the stories that help build the character of their parents and their grandparents. All right, we'll go. Okay, another fun writing activity. We have a family photo cookbook at our house. We love to cook. I love to cook, so we are always cooking in the kitchen. Well, I thought, you know, someday my kids are going to leave and go to college. And when I left home and went to college, I could make macaroni and cheese and rice-a-roni and toast. So I ate a lot of that, you know, while I was gone. And you know what? I decided my kids really should learn how to cook. And so we have typed up some of our favorite recipes, and I take pictures of them, either making them or with the finished product. This is an easy one. Just pull out, especially if you've got a digital camera, just pull that thing out and you can just get snap happy, and then you just print little tiny pictures and put them together. Put them in one of these. That's it. Each one of our kids has a little scrapbook of them. And here's, you know, one kid scrambling eggs, and they may not make it on their own, but they are definitely a part of that. All right, next. Favorite family Christmas memories. Now this one's over here. Again, I love giving my parents writing assignments. And one year I said, you know, for Christmas, will you write? My dad was telling about Christmas one year and what he remembered. And he remembered waiting for Santa Claus. And he remembered getting a white pen with a black lid or something. And I said, but what else do you remember? So my dad and my mom wrote down what they remembered, their favorite Christmas, what they did. Here's a Christmas story that my dad wrote that I wanted to save. This was an experience that I had. I heard Christmas angels sing. Anyway, here's my mom, and my dad wrote. And then they said, here's our traditional clam chowder. We always have clam chowder during the holidays. Well, where did that come from? Well, my mom said, you know, it came from my mom. She always made a certain recipe. She had date pudding. So here's the recipe. And here's what my mom remembered about my grandmother. All of my grandparents have passed away. And so we didn't know them. My mom and my dad sat down and they started remembering. Well, what did they do? Well, what special event? They wrote a whole book. And we figured out that the date pudding came from the great-grandma who had carrot pudding, who came from the recipe that had plum pudding. I think that's as far as it went back. They had nothing else before then. So anyway, but how far can you go back in your history? And these were just simple little memories, simple little stories. But it's a genealogy of Christmas and our family. So anyway, this was delightful. This was a fun one to make. And every Christmas we pull that out and we read it. And then we talk about our own Christmas memories with our children. What else do you do? What else do you remember? Remember something, you know. So, anyway, that's a real easy one. All right. The last square on your lovely white piece of paper, I want you to write down along the side over here, Because you're going to divide it in two. You're going to write A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. And you're going to start the ABCs of your family. In your specific family, what are some A words that describe you? Awesome. Awful. I don't know. What are some A's that describe you? Yeah.
We have adopted kids.
Adopted. Excellent. Anyone else?
Activities.
Okay. Activities. Very active, maybe. How about the letter B? Any B's that describe you? Boys. Boys. Two in a row, boys. What else? Boisterous.
Blessed.
Good. All right. As I keep continuing, I just want you to brainstorm and start writing. We do a lot of writing in the car. Captive audience, literally. And love that with the kids. But I'll be up in the front and I'll, hey, give me, you know, let's talk about the ABCs of our family. Help me think. And we'll just go through. We just start talking about it. And we do a lot of writing in the car because kids can't move. They have to sit there. All right, next. So as we keep walking, keep writing your ABCs. All right, everyone loves a letter. This one, I pulled out all the Arnold Freeberg pictures from the Gospel Art Packet that the church puts out. And here they are, these beautiful paintings, these beautiful pictures. Pulled them out, laid them on the floor, and we talked about from the scriptures. Oh, let's look at these different stories. Let's talk about each. And the kids know the stories. The kids talk about those stories. And I just laid them out, and I said, okay, I want everyone to come up and pick one. So they each picked a picture, and they went back and they sat down. And I said, today I'm going to teach you how to write letters. So I got out my little whiteboard. All right, up here you write your address, then here's the date, then you skip a float, you know, skip two lines, and then you write, dear, and I want you to address it to the person who's in your picture. Dear Nephi, dear Noah, dear Moses. And I said, I want you to think, if you could write that person a letter, what would you ask? What would you say? What kind of questions would you ask? Let's say Moses. What would you say to Moses? Do you like sand? You know, do you like wandering around? You know, and I make sure my kids, we brainstorm questions on, you know, different things that happened in their picture. And then I say, you know, I don't want you to write, you know, the boring questions that you already know the answer to. I want you to ask the probing questions. And so they do. They write those questions down. And then they fold them up, they put them in an envelope, we lick it, stick it, and they write the front, they write the envelope. We don't use any stamps, I'm too cheap. No, don't put the stamps on, but I gather up all the letters. And for this experience, I gave them to my father. And I said, Dad, will you write back? Will you pretend you're Moses? And will you write back to my children? And he really took that on as a spiritual assignment. And I said, you have 2 weeks. Take 2 weeks to kind of get through that. And he did. And he was able to bear his testimony as if he were Moses, as if he were Nephi, as if he were Noah. He returned those letters, and those letters, you know, that Monday night, hey, we got mail, look, everyone got a letter. And I passed them out, and the kids were, wow, Nephi wrote, you know, and I'm like, well, okay, we just let that one go. So they, but each of them got a letter from a prophet that's in the scriptures. And each one now cherishes that letter. And so we're going to do that as a yearly experience. Every year we thought it would be neat to write a letter to a scripture hero. So that's a fun idea. and something that, you know, if you wanted to gather up the envelopes and then just mix them up and hand them back out and have each of your kids write the letter back or you write the letter back, you know, you can decide how you want to do that. But for us, we link that with another generation. Ah, that would be good. Let them, you know, keep that letter and then answer it in a couple of years. Good. Excellent. All right, next. The postcard report. Okay, how many here have brought their children? Some, all, many. Okay, too many at this point. All right, this is one of our favorite. We do this all the time. Field trip, we're going on a field trip, we're going on a trip, a vacation. Every time we go somewhere, I always pick up a handful of postcards. And as we're driving home, I fan them out. Okay, everybody gets to pick. And everyone has to pick one or two postcards. And then they have to write on the back. And the rule at our house is whatever grade you're in, that's how many sentences you have to write. You're in third grade, you have to write three sentences. You're in fifth grade, you have to write more, a whole paragraph. Anyway, they pick their postcard, and they write it on the back, and it's hilarious. And then I put them on a clip or on a ring, paper clip if I can't find the rings, and we just have a whole basket full of these little funny trips. I always make sure that they write their age. And like this one, I got to draw a picture. You know, I like the sharks. I like to feed the sharks. I can't remember feeding the shark. Oh, when they fed the shark. Like, who fed the sharks? Anyway, I try to always have them write their name and the age and the date, what year this was. But that's just an easy way to do a little reminder. Remember that trip? You know, and it's all in one place and it's all together. And then they can write it in their scrapbook later. But at least I have this. And then we just throw them in a basket. Okay, next, a shared journal. I love this idea, and it's worked very nicely. You just find a journal. It's one journal, two writers. Go out and find a special little journal, and you can start it, or your child can start it. You just address it, and it's like mail. It's like a letter, and it goes back and forth, and every once in a while, I'll walk in. Oh, I've got mail. There's the journal sitting on my pillow on the bed. And I pick it up, and it's a letter from my daughter. And it's nothing important, you know, nothing earth-shattering. Maybe it's a picture she's drawn. Maybe it's something that she's colored. And I'll write back to her. Sometimes I write about things I thought about or did when I was her age, and it goes back and forth. Sometimes we plan, hey, we're going to go to this. Let's go to a mother-daughter movie. Let's go to lunch. Let's go, you know, to the park. Just you and me. This little journal floats back and forth between us, and it's such a nice little forum. It's nothing. I don't correct their grammar. I don't write, sentence structure needs help. I don't do that with this one. This one is just for fun. And it does. It goes right back and forth. So I'll try to write in hers and put it on hers the next night. Sometimes we go weeks without writing, and other times it's every day. It goes back and forth. But I keep that as an open communication with my child, hoping that between the two of us, someday when the questions do get harder, we'll have somewhere to put it. Sometimes it's easier to write something than it is to face-to-face talk about it. Okay. Jumpstart your writing with a good book. How many here have read If You Give a Moose a Muffin or Give a Mouse a Cookie? How many have read any of those books? These ones are classic. They're fun to read, but they're even more fun to write. Hidden up here. Oh, here it is. We wrote our own. We had just studied colonial America. And my son had just studied all about Benjamin Franklin. So we wrote this lovely book called If You Give Ben Franklin a Piece of String. Oh, what would happen? If you give Ben Franklin a piece of string, he'd want some wood to go with it. And you know what? This son, he doesn't like to draw, so we found some clip art. Oh, okay. He'd take some wood and make a kite and some paper. If he had a kite, he'd ask for a key and some wire. While he was out in a thunderstorm, he'd want his son to come with him. Zap. So anyway, we just took that same format and wrote our own, based on the things that we knew about Benjamin Franklin. That's an easy, easy one. Another one with young writers is Brown Bear, Brown Bear. What do you see? I see a red horse looking at me. Well, you can take that, and whatever you're studying, if you're studying about cowboys, cowboy, cowboy, what do you see? You know, then you fill it in. Find stories that have a pattern. Another good one is, The Hungry Caterpillar. And, there's a classic book called That's Good, That's Bad. And I can't give you a title, but type it in at the library and pull it up. And it's excellent. And it talks about, we went down to the river, and while I was standing there, I fell in. That's bad. No, that's good. Because when I fell in, I found a piece of gold, and it was from a pirate's chest. Oh, that's good. No, that was bad because the chest was surrounded by sharks. And that's another one that's easy to read and then fun to just follow up on.
What's the name?
That's Good, That's Bad. And then they also have That's Good, That's Bad in the Grand Canyon, sequel to the first. So that's another easy one. But you can do it almost with any book. We wrote this one, this funny one. It was called Help, and it was just a little cute little poem. Help, cried Katie. My fingers are stuck. Dad came running. He tried to help. He tried and tried, but still Katie's fingers were stuck inside. Help, cried Katie. The mechanic came running. She tried to help. She tried and tried, but still Katie's fingers were stuck inside. Anyway, we just took and. I mean, this is not like a classic book, but we just took off on that idea. Hey, let's take a picture. JJ's stuck on the tram. Help, cried JJ, my foot is stuck. Mom came running, she brought some muffins. She tried and tried, but JJ's foot was still stuck inside. I was always making muffins during that time of my life. Help, cried JJ, Mimi came running. She kissed and hugged, she tried and tried, but still. Anyway, each of JJ's sisters comes to the rescue. Make your child the hero of the book. Very easy to put clip art into your Word document or pictures, but this book is one of our favorites because he wrote it. We wrote it together as a family. So anyway, that's another easy one. Family timeline. All right. We love timelines. Timelines can kind of get long. But, you want to hold that? You want to grab the other end? All right. Can you guess which part of my life I bought the digital camera? Oh, okay. Anyway, this is a timeline. And I just went through our pictures and I printed out, and they're not big, they're small. I just printed out different things that have happened in our lives. This is JJ's life. He's 8. And he's quite long already. But we've moved, I think, 6 times in his life. But we've done vacations. We've done events like when he broke his arm. We did when Grandma turned 80. We have, when we got the trampoline. You know, events that are important in his life. We did this for a family reunion once. For the family reunion, we celebrated Grandma Mary, and it was the year 2000, so we thought, let's go back and do the last 100 years. And so we started writing, and this is how you make a timeline. The first thing you do is you take a piece of paper, and you write all the events in one column, and you just start brainstorming. Oh, okay, well, if we're going to do a timeline, let's do what we start, birth. Of whoever the timeline is for, birth. And then you can go and do like church events, baptism, and turn 12, got the priesthood, or went into young women's or young men's. You can just outline all those big events. Then anytime you moved, anytime you had a pet, anytime you played sports, anytime big things happened in your life, what was it? You start and you list all those in your event column. And then in the next column, you write place. Where did that happen? And if you're like me and you moved around, you can say, I think we were in that house. And that helps me narrow it down to a certain time period. So then you write your time or place, and the last you write the date. So if you can do event, place, and date all at once, that's fabulous. But you're going to have, just start listing all your events, the different houses you've lived in, the different cars you have owned. We have a whole list of those. And you just keep writing. And going back to the traffic light, write. Get all those events. Don't stop and say, now when did that, let me go look that up. Don't do that yet. Just start writing all those events. Put those down and start your list. So that's what we did with Grandma Mary. We kind of had a history of her, so we wrote down. And she was born in the early 1900s. So on this piece of paper, and our rough copy kind of looked like this, but when we finished, it was 44 feet long. It covered the entire wall. It was gigantic. But we started, and at the family reunion, as the people walked in, we gave each of them a pen. And we said, please, go autograph on the wall when you were born, when your children were born, when you were married, you know, some events in your big life, in your lifetime. And by the end, you know, we were amazed at Grandma Mary's life. And she had 13 children, and we noticed, and then I put a timeline of inventions. We noticed that the washing machine was invented after all 13 of those children were out of their diapers, you know, and it was like, oh my goodness, and look how many people had served in the military. And these three brothers were in this war, and two more brothers were in this war, and, you know, we looked at her life. And timelines are fabulous for that. But this is a great one to do with your whole family. And we just take that thing with all the events, we just stack it on the wall. And everyone, you know, every time we're eating, we put it in the kitchen. Every time we're eating dinner, oh, yeah, remember that time we got the dog? What was that dog's name? You know, and they'll write it up there. And, oh, that's when we do a lot of writing, is at the dinner table or in the car. Anywhere when we are together. And we make lists of things and funny things. And then those funny stories about the special tree come out. And we have special books that are written by our family. I'm getting out of time. A Day in the Life of Your Family, you can chronologically write down what you do. Pick one day in your life. Actually, pick 2 days. And you're going to decide at 8 a.m., and I used to do this, I do it like once a year, and I just take a notebook, and the whole day I'm listening and watching, and I try to be in the house during those times and not plan too many outside adventures. But I always, you know, I try to keep track. You know, what's going on? And trying to do the whole thing in one day gets a little hectic, so sometimes I do it in 2 days, and that way I'll do the morning in one day and the afternoon in the next. Because I want a glimpse of what our life is at that moment. Because that's a little capsule of your life. And so that's a real fun one. And then I would divide it up into all the different timelines. I think I'm out of time, almost. The yellow piece of paper, I've been putting all my ideas together. And all of these ideas are in this book that is this close to being printed. So if you would like a copy, you can go ahead and fill out one of these, and I'll just take it here. I don't have a booth. They ran out of tables. So anyway, you can just find me if that's something that you'd like. I also have learningisablast.com. This is our website, and it's a place where you can look at the ideas, you can get new ideas, or you can share ideas. And so it's just kind of a fun place. Also, to link with that, the learning calendar. This is a great thing to do as a family, as a history event. Every day, It's listed as there's something for the day. And this is a great resource. They have an online newsletter that is free, and it's thelearningcalendar.com, if you want to write that one down. This is fabulous. Talks about when the states were admitted, different people, inventors. Every year they have a different theme or two that they follow. And so you can look at this if you want up here. But this is another great, great way to, you know, teach history. And it's great because you're doing it as a family. We have this in the kitchen where everyone can kind of see it and we can all talk together. I encourage you to write your stories. As you can see, it takes 2 minutes to get it started. Take those little ideas, put them together, put them in a book, something that your kids, so your children know your spiritual experiences. There's nothing worse than having an incredible spiritual experience and forgetting it. So often that happens, an answer to a prayer, or things miraculously come together when they should. And sometimes those things are kept in our heart. You know, and as I read about Mary and how she kept everything in her heart, wouldn't it be nice if we had the book of Mary? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Mary. You know, I'd like to know what Mary thought when Christ was crying all night. Or, you know, I don't think he ever did that. But, you know, I would like to know those things. Because I don't have journals of some of my ancestors. I do have some of my ancestors, but there's, you know, so many wonderful stories inside of each one of you, and those need to be shared with your family. So I hope you'll each go home and write your stories and put them together in little books and make some timelines and just get those stories out so your children know who you are and will feel empowered because they have stories inside of them. Thank you.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.